order, and then we've skipped around chapter 7, chapter 9. We went to chapter 25, 28. We've been a little bit everywhere. Now we're chapter 23. I am keeping up with it, just not in my memory, thank the Lord. But we are making our way through the book of Jeremiah, and here real soon my plan is to pick up where we left off in chapter 4 and just take it one chapter at a time. But what we have are these important truths that go along with what we have been trying to emphasize, and I just can't help it. We're going to land right where God places us, and tonight is chapter 23. We're following that scarlet thread of redemption throughout the Scripture. The Lord teaches us in John chapter 5 that we're to search the Scriptures. And the reason why we're to search the Scriptures is because they testify of Christ. They're the only source of hope that we have now is the Lord Jesus Christ. The only hope that the nation of Israel ever had was Jesus Christ. The difference between us and Israel is that they looked forward to the cross. We're looking back at the cross. People have been saved from every generation the same way. It's through the blood. They had faith in the blood just like we have faith in the blood. They had faith that God was going to send a Redeemer and that He would shed His blood for their sin, and it happened. And we're looking back at the cross, believing that God sent His Son to die for us, to die in our place. And that's how we're saved, by putting our faith and trust in what Jesus Christ has done. I have no confidence in my flesh. I have no confidence in my character. I have zero confidence in anything that I've ever performed or done. I feel I've lived most of my life in full-time Christian ministry. I've been saved since I was 5. I started serving the Lord when I was 12. I wish I would have started earlier. And then as a teenage boy, I served the Lord. I started preaching when I was 13. And I've been assistant pastor since 1999. But I don't feel like I have earned any merit with God. Zero. You say, Brother Fred, how can that be? Because I'm not trusting in anything that I've done. All of my confidence is in Him, because I know who I am. I know exactly who I am. I am a failure at best, but my Savior is my Redeemer, and I look to Him for His and to His righteousness. Let's read together. You're going to love this. Remember, in Luke chapter 24, we talked about the disciples on the road to Emmaus. You remember that? It's been so long ago that we brought it up. And in Luke chapter 24, do you remember the principle that we've been teaching, that in the books of the law, the books of Moses, the books of history, the books of the Psalms, the books of the prophets, they all testify of who? Christ, our Savior, the Lord Jesus. And if that is the case, then you can find Him in every book of the Bible, and I know you can. And we've been looking at Him. Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 1, the Bible says, "Woe be unto the pastors that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, saith the Lord. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God of Israel against the pastors that feed my people. Ye have scattered my flocks and driven them away, and have not visited them. Behold, I will visit upon you the evil of your doings, saith the Lord, and I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all countries whither I have driven them, and will bring them again to their folds. And they shall be fruitful and increase. And I will set up shepherds over them, which shall feed them. And they shall fear no more, nor be dismayed. Neither shall they be lacking, saith the Lord. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch." Would you mark that word branch? I have it circled, underlined, and highlighted in my Bible. If you'll notice that it starts with a capital B, and it is making a direct reference to our Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says, "And a king," not any king, but a king, a specific king, if you'll mark this, again capitalized, "shall reign and prosper." And again, a direct reference to Jesus Christ. This is a messianic portion of God's Scripture. "And shall execute judgment and justice in the earth." The Bible says, "In his days," Christ's days, "Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely. And this is his name, whereby he shall be called." I love this name. It is probably one of my favorite, if not my favorite name, of the Lord Jesus Christ in all the Scripture. I hope that you'll mark it. All capital letters. There's no mistaking it. With very clear distinction, this is a scarlet thread in Jeremiah chapter 23. The Lord, our righteousness. "Therefore, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that they shall no more say, 'The Lord liveth,' which brought up the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt, but the Lord liveth, which brought up and which led the seed of the house of Israel out of the north country and from all countries whither I had driven them, and they shall dwell in their own land. Isn't that a blessing? Isn't that a great promise that the Lord has given to us? Let's pray together, and I want you to pray with me now. Very specifically, pray that God would speak to your heart and pray that God would encourage you. Let me ask you tonight, why are you here? The Lord asked Adam, where art thou, Adam? He did not ask Adam where he was because he didn't know where he was. God knew where Adam was. Throughout the scripture, you will find the Lord asking people questions, not because he doesn't know the answer, but it is a time of self-reflection. There's a time of self-examination. Let me ask you tonight, where are you? Why are you here? If you didn't come to hear from God's Word, if you didn't come to increase your faith, and if you didn't come to be matured and rooted and grounded in the Scripture, why are you here? This is a time that we fellowship together, but this is a time where we're praying that the Holy Spirit of God would move and work as only He can. Let's pray that way. Would you pray with me? Precious Heavenly Father, I ask in Jesus' name tonight that You would meet with us. Lord, we know that You never leave us, You never forsake us, but Lord, we often don't see Your presence. We often don't see Your manifested presence. I pray tonight that You'd manifest Yourself unto us. Lord, I pray that You would show us our Savior so that we might see the hope that we have in Him. Lord, tonight I pray that You would help me to draw these truths from Your Word so that we might rejoice tonight that we have been redeemed, that we are saved, that we are safe, that we are on our way to heaven. Lord, tonight I pray that You would help us to exalt the Lord Jesus Christ. May You hide me. Lord, I pray that He may be seen, He may be exalted, He may be glorified. Lord, tonight I ask that You give me supernatural Holy Spirit power to lift up my Savior, the Lord Jesus. Please bless the teaching and the preaching of Thy Word. I ask it now in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen. When you look in Jeremiah, you see this scarlet thread in chapter 23, but it is a specific thread. It is a specific thought that is not only in the book of Jeremiah, it is also in other books where the Lord Jesus Christ is called a branch. Have you noticed He's been called a branch? For us to move forward, I want to look at the other places in the Scripture where He's called a branch, and we've already looked at one of those, and that is in the book of Isaiah. Would you turn with me to Isaiah chapter number 4? I won't spend long here, but just for a moment, I want to look at Isaiah chapter 4. And I want to remind you that I had you to mark this verse. I hope that you marked it, but the Lord is called a branch, and this is very significant. And tonight, by the time I finish sharing with you these scriptures, I hope that you'll see why the branch, seeing the Lord Jesus Christ as the branch, is so important. So I want you to, as you're turning to Isaiah chapter 4, I want you to think as you're turning, I have one purpose, and I hope that as we leave this place tonight, I can, by the help of the Holy Spirit, get across the message of the importance of this specific name or title that God has given His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in the Scripture, the branch. In Isaiah chapter 4 and verse number 2, the Bible says, "In that day shall the branch," and it's not capitalized, but still there's no question, referring to the Christ, the Messiah, "that in that day shall the branch of the Lord be beautiful and glorious, and the fruit of the earth shall be excellent and comely for them that are escaped of Israel." The first thing that I want to point out to you is Isaiah presents the branch as God. As we've looked at these different portraits, remember that the book of Isaiah is a photo book. It is the crown jewel of all the messianic prophecies. And he takes different portraits of Christ. I mentioned to you both His person is pictured and His work is pictured. And then I mentioned to you that every major aspect of the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ is clearly pictured in the book of Isaiah. But if there was one particular portrait that Isaiah wanted you to see above all others, it was found easy and early in the book of chapter 9, and that is He is the mighty God. And as we look at the branch, Isaiah makes it clear that the Lord Jesus Christ, the branch, is God Himself. We'll see that also in the book of Jeremiah. But look with me now in Isaiah chapter 11. Just a few pages over, Isaiah chapter 11 and verse number 1. You'll rejoice in this thought as well. The Bible says, "And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch. I have it marked. I have it highlighted. I hope that you'll tie all these together because they're so important. The Bible says, shall grow out of his roots. Think about the terminology there. Can you see it? A branch growing out of the roots. That's the picture. This is a word picture that God gives us so that we can have a help in a time of need. Now, I know you don't understand what the help is yet, but I'm just trying to paint this picture of a branch coming from the roots. The Bible says, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. Now, turn back with me to the book of Jeremiah, and I want you to look with me at chapter 33, Jeremiah chapter 33. Turn back with me. Jeremiah, hold your place in chapter 23. We'll be right back there. But in Jeremiah chapter 33, and I want to begin reading in verse 15. So twice in the book of Jeremiah, the Messiah is presented as a branch. But instead of presenting him as God, Jeremiah presents him as king. As a matter of fact, when we get to chapter 22 in just a moment, you'll see all the failed kings of Judah. Let me set the setting for just a moment. How many of you have been with me when we looked at Jeremiah chapter 1, chapter 2, and chapter 3? You were with me, right? Okay, so when you're looking at the book of Jeremiah, are we dealing with Judah or Israel? It's Judah. It's so important that you see that. Now, here's the reason why. We understand that Judah eventually, not yet, but Judah eventually will be carried away into Babylonian captivity. Israel, which was more wicked than Judah, remember I've said many times that if Judah would have simply learned from the mistakes of his big sister Israel, oh, what a difference that would have made. And what a great Bible truth there. But Israel was more wicked than Judah. Remember, that's where Ahab came from and all the other wicked kings. Jeroboam, remember Jeroboam? We've talked about him. There was no one that did as evil or wicked as Jeroboam, and it just kept getting worse and worse and worse from one king to the next. It never got any better. It just kept getting worse. Remember, that's Israel. The Israelites were carried away. And by the way, we're talking about the nation of Israel, but it was divided into two kingdoms after Solomon. Do you remember that? Rehoboam and Jeroboam. Rehoboam, of course, being Solomon's son. Am I going too fast? Is it too much for you? I hope that you can handle that. And these are important things. We have King David. We have King Solomon. And King Solomon had a son by the name of Rehoboam. And then he had a servant by the name of Jeroboam. Jeroboam took the throne in Israel. Rehoboam was the king of Judah, and Judah was less wicked. He still wasn't successful, still wasn't perfect, but less wicked than Israel. And what I want you to see, by this time, Israel had been carried away captive by the Assyrians, not by the Babylonians, but by the Assyrians. And I want you to think about this for a moment. As you're reading through the book of Jeremiah, and you won't understand Jeremiah until you understand this principle. Israel is no longer a kingdom. Israel is no longer a nation. Israel has no one sitting on the throne. Judgment has already played its full course and its full role. And now where we're at in the book of Jeremiah is we're not dealing with Israel anymore. We're just dealing with the southern kingdom because, remember, it was divided. The nation of Israel was divided under Rehoboam and Jeroboam. Because of that wickedness, because of all of their transgressions, their refusing to obey and follow the commands of the Lord, now we're at a point where Israel is out of the picture. It's out of the scene, and now we're dealing with just Judah. And we're coming to the very end of Judah where they're getting ready to follow in the same footsteps as Israel. So for us to understand how the Lord Jesus Christ is presented to us, we have to understand that every king that has ever lived has failed. Every king has disobeyed. Every king has fell short. But now we have a promise. We have hope. There's a branch. It's going to spring from the roots, and he's going to please God. And he's going to be a successful ruler, and his name is the branch. It's speaking of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. The whole message tonight revolves around this thought. There's no hope anywhere but in Christ. You can't look to any man. If you look at me, dear church, look at me for a moment. If you put your eyes on me, I promise you, let me make you a promise that I can keep. Let me make you a promise that I guarantee I will not fail. If you look to me, I will fail you. If you look long enough, you're going to see bumps and wrinkles and freckles and warts. And if you look at any man long enough, you're going to find trouble. We must keep our eyes off of men and find our only source of hope in our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the branch. So look with me at Jeremiah chapter 33, and I want to move quickly. The Bible says in verse 15, in those days and at that time will I cause, what's the Bible say? The branch of righteousness. It's a great branch. The branch of righteousness to grow up unto David, and he shall execute judgment and righteousness in the land. In those days shall Judah be saved, and Jerusalem shall dwell safely. And this is the name where she shall be called the Lord our righteousness. Now, notice the word she. I have that mark. It's talking about the nation of Israel, again, as a whole, both Israel and Judah. At some point in time, when this prophecy is fulfilled, when the branch does come, the Bible says this is the name wherewith she or Israel shall be called the Lord our righteousness. It will be fulfilled. It will come to pass. The Lord Jesus Christ will sit on the throne of David, and he will rule and reign throughout all eternity. And guess what? We'll be happy servants of the Lord throughout all eternity. We'll be part of the redeemed, and what a blessing. I've got two more places to share with you before I get into the message. The message will be brief, but let me share with you two more places. The next one is in the book of Zechariah. I'll give you just a moment to get there. So over towards the end of the Old Testament, the book of Zechariah. And let me give you just a moment to get there and head over to chapter 3. While you're headed to Zechariah chapter 3, let me share with you just a couple thoughts. And then we're going to make our way to Ezekiel. I told you two more places, and then I'll get into the message, and then we'll go home tonight. But in the book of Zechariah, we find something very interesting. We find the Lord mentioned again. Very faithfully, as what we find in Isaiah, Jeremiah. Now in Zechariah, he's called the branch again. Remember, there's a goal for this. There is a specific hope. There's a specific strength. There's a specific blessing. When you know the Lord as the branch, you don't see it yet. You don't understand it yet. And maybe you do. Maybe you understand more than I do. But I'm leading you to a point where you can put your confidence in the branch. And I'm going to give you a reason why we can have hope in the branch. The Bible says in Zechariah chapter 3, verse 8, "Hear now, O Joshua, the high priest, thou and thy fellows that sit before thee, for they are men wondered at. For behold, I will bring forth my servant, the branch." And all capital letters, again, this is the scarlet thread, and we may reference these again as we get to these books in the Old Testament, but this is a messianic promise in the book of Zechariah, the promise of the Messiah. Turn with me to chapter 6, Zechariah chapter 6 and verse number 12. Zechariah 6 and verse number 12. I hope that you're tying all these together, marking them in your Bible so that you can refer back to them often. The Bible says in Zechariah chapter 6 and verse 12, "And speak unto him, saying, Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, Behold, the man whose name is," I love it, don't you? "The branch," capital T-H-E, B-R-A-N-C-H. All capital letters referring to our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, as the branch. "And he shall grow up out of his place, and he shall build the temple of the Lord." One final place. And that is in the book of Ezekiel. And Ezekiel doesn't use the term branch, but if you have a Strong's Concordance and you look up this word branch, every time that we've looked at it, it's the same Hebrew word, and it's still a reflection and an expression of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah. It's just not, translated for us in our English Bible as the word branch, but it has the same root word, and I want you to see it in the book of Ezekiel. Now, this is the most interesting, because this time, Ezekiel presents Christ as the branch in a riddle, all right? And as this riddle is given, how many of you like riddles? I always get stumped at riddles. I'm like, I give up. And they're like, no, you can't give up that quick. You know, you got to keep trying. Okay, so this is the kind of riddle that I like. Ezekiel gives us the riddle in chapter 17. And then in verse number 11, I want you to notice there's a second paragraph in verse 11. The Bible says, moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me saying, and here's what happens. He gives the answer to the riddle. So it's not too super confusing. So let's look at this riddle that helps us understand. Is it possible that this name would be so important for the child of God? Is it possible that God could give us a name for His Son that would be so significant that we could use it as a source of hope for all the days of our life? Is it possible that there's a name of the Lord Jesus Christ that is so significant that God hides the name in a riddle and then exposes it by the word of the Lord? That's what we're looking at when we look at this name, Branch. Just hold on to your seat for just a moment. It's taken me a long time to just get bits and pieces of understanding of this, and I'm definitely not a Bible scholar, but I have studied, and I'm trying to find out the answer to this, and the best help has been just the Scripture because it interprets this. Look at this. The Bible says, and the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, put forth a what? A riddle. Put forth a riddle. And speak a parable unto the house of Israel, and say, thus saith the Lord God, a great eagle. And the Lord makes this clear who the great eagle is. God explains it. This is Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon, a great eagle with great wings. There's two eagles, by the way, in this riddle. So in your mind, I want you to see a great eagle. The Bible says, long wing, full of feathers, which had divers collars, came into Lebanon and took the highest branch of the cedar. All right, what was the highest branch of the cedar? Was it Israel or Judah? I bet you can't guess. The highest branch was Judah. Judah lasted the longest. Judas was the most holy. Judas was the most righteous. Judas most perfectly pictured the Messiah. Jesus Christ is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. So the highest branch of the cedar was Judah. This is made known for us in 2 Kings chapter 24. The Bible says, and he cropped off the top of his young twigs and carried it into a land of traffic. He set it in a city of merchants. And again, this is a riddle talking about the destruction of King Nebuchadnezzar. Verse 5, the Bible says, he took also of the seed of the land. Now, this is important. And if you'll remember, I taught about this for a long time. There was someone on the throne of Judah that should have never been there, and that was Zedekiah. Do you remember? Zedekiah came after Kaniah or Jeconiah. Remember the curse of Jeconiah? If you sat in the Sunday school lessons, you'll remember that curse of Jeconiah. Okay, so after that, no one from the seed of David from the seed of Jeconiah would sit on the throne of David. That lineage was cut off. No one could sit on the throne of David from King Jeconiah. He was the last rightful king of Judah. Okay, and then Nebuchadnezzar put in a king. It was called a vassal king. And we talked about that in detail for a long time in Sunday school. And if you missed that, I'd love to teach it again. But we won't get in detail tonight. But this vassal king was set up under King Nebuchadnezzar. He should not have been there. He was not of the lineage of David. He was not he didn't have right to be there. But Nebuchadnezzar put him there. It's Zedekiah. And he was the seed of the land. So if you'll mark Zedekiah, he was the appointed king there. And planted it in a fruitful field. He placed it by great waters and set it as a willow tree. Now I want you to mark this word in verse number 6. The Bible says, and it grew. Would you mark that word grew? That word is the same word that Isaiah, Jeremiah, and Zechariah use. It's translated as the word branch in every other one of those pictures. And I want you to see, this is where Ezekiel is beginning to illuminate and to point out the Messiah as the branch. It begins with this word grew. Let's continue to read. And became a spreading vine of slow stature, whose branches, that's not it, different word, turned toward him, and the roots thereof were under him. So it became a vine and brought forth branches and shoot forth sprigs. The Bible says in verse 7, And there was also another great eagle. So now we got one eagle. This is eagle number two. And this, remember, Israel, and I know this is a little confusing, and I know this is pretty deep, and it may be over your head tonight, and it's over my head. But we ought to understand, and we ought to know the Bible. Amen? Do you know who Adam was? We got to get past that. Do you know who Noah was? Do you know what Noah built? Let's get beyond that. Amen, church? Let's find out what the Word of God teaches. Can we grow together? Can we learn together? Can we determine that we're going to be students of the book? Can we grow to love this blessed book? Can we learn the truths of the Word of God? Can we get in deeper than what we've been before? Listen, watch for a minute. I'm tired of being this deep right here, just enough to cover my shoes in water. I want to get a little deeper in the Word. I want to wade out a little bit in the blessings of God, because here's what I find. Out there's a gold mine. Listen, I'm reading the Scripture every day, and I'm studying every day, 2 to 4 hours every day of my life, and I'm telling you, here's what I'm finding. I'm finding Bible principles and Bible truths and Bible stories and Bible lessons. I've been hearing the preaching of the Word of God since I was 5 years old, and I'm telling you tonight, church, there are truths in the Word of God that I've never heard spoke one time by these ears, or at least I did hear them, I don't remember them anymore. I'm telling you, absolute gold mine in this blessed book that points us right to the Lord Jesus Christ, that encourages us and teaches us how to live the Christian life. Oh, dear friend, please be excited and encouraged about the Word of God. Get in it and study it for yourself and learn what the Bible's teaching. Oh, what a blessing is there. It's so encouraging and so helpful. Dear God, help us to grow. I know this is deep tonight, but hang with me. There's a tremendous principle here. Remember, Israel, carried away by the Babylonians. No, I'm wrong. It's the Assyrians. Judah by the Babylonians, Nebuchadnezzar. And then after Nebuchadnezzar, they were carried away by the Egyptians. And there's a long story there. It's an amazing story. But I want you to see in verse number 7, that's what he's talking about. This was Pharaoh. And you say, how do you know all that? All you have to do is start reading in verse 11, and it explains it all. There was also a great eagle with great wings and many feathers. And behold, the vine did bend her roots toward him and shoot forth her branches toward him, that he might water it by the furrows of her plantation. It was planted in good soil by great waters, that it might bring forth branches, and that it might bear fruit, that it might be a goodly vine. Now look at verse 9. This is it the second time. Say thou, thus saith the Lord God, shall it prosper. Is it going to work? Shall he not pull down, or I'm sorry, shall he not pull up the roots thereof and cast off the fruit thereof, that it wither? Look what it says. It shall wither in all the leaves of her spring. Would you mark that word, of her spring? This word, of her spring, is the same word that Isaiah used, same word that Jeremiah used, same word that you find in Zechariah, and now you find it in Ezekiel. This time, it's of her spring, and you could say it this way, of her branch. Even without great power, many people to pluck it up by the roots thereof. Again, I want you to mark verse 12 and verse 13. Almost everything is explained in those two verses, and verse 17. If you'll look at verse 12, 13, and verse 17, they explain almost everything that I just told you. But now I want you to look with me at verse 22. To the end of the story, I want you to see that God takes us, where God takes us. It says, thus saith the Lord, I will also take the highest branch of the high cedar and will set it. I will crop off from the top of his young twigs a tender one and will plant it upon high mountains and eminent. In the mountain of the height of Israel, I will plant it, and it shall bring forth boughs and bear fruit and be a goodly cedar. Would you mark that? And be a goodly cedar. And under it shall dwell the fowl of every wing, and a shadow, and the shadow of the branches thereof shall they dwell. And all the trees of the field shall know that I, the Lord, have brought down the high tree, have exalted the low tree and dried up the green tree, and have made every dry tree to flourish. I, the Lord, have spoken and have done it. I want you to understand that every word of verses 22 through verse 24 is a beautiful picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. Here's what I want you to see. I'm going to get straight to the message now. And really, I'm just in the way of introduction and we're out of time. And I'll come back to this. Will you give me one more week at it? But let me give you some help here. Here's what I want you to see. Every pastor, which means not like a pastor of a church, but like a shepherd, a king, a priest, a prophet, anyone who led the nation of Israel dropped the ball. Every king that they had failed. Every king was rotting. And here's what God does. As if it was a giant cedar, whew, whacks it off. It's cut off. Do you see it? And now what's left? What's left? You cut the tree off. Somebody tell me, after you cut the tree off, what's left? The stump. That's exactly right. The stump is all that's left. Now I'm going to tell you something. There's not anything that's attractive about a stump. But if you leave a stump for some time, what happens to that stump? You have a what? A branch. That's exactly right. You have a branch. Now here's what I want you to see. This is in this riddle and in these stories, this is what I'm trying to point out to you. Because of the wickedness of Israel and Judah, and mainly Judah because that's who we're dealing with, the tree was cut down, Israel was cut down, Judah was cut down. Because they would not obey God, because they would not follow Him, they were cut down. But God says, wait a minute, there's hope. You know why? Look at the stump. Look at the stump. What's coming out of the stump? It's a branch. And who is the branch that is coming out of the stump? It is our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm telling you that every form of government, every king, every priest, every pastor, every, you put your finger on it, you call it out, has failed. The tree has been cut down. And all that the nation of Judah saw was the stump. That was it. But what they rejoiced in was, yes, it looked like it was dead, but there was life. There was hope because God put a branch. Dear friend, that's the way we must see the Christian life. Everything around us is like a giant, dead, rotten stump. But somewhere around the base of that stump or some part of that stump, there was a branch coming out of it. Tonight, I want you to understand that He is the only hope that we have. Would you turn with me to the book of Romans? I want you to see, I'm in no way, shape, or form, I didn't even get into the message. But I want you to look with me at Romans chapter 3, and I want you to look at this branch just quickly, and I'll read it and we'll be finished. As a matter of fact, would you stand with me? Romans chapter 3, and look with me at verse 21. Romans chapter 3 and verse 21. While you're making your way there, I'm going to read to you Jeremiah, where we just read in chapter 23. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch, and a king shall reign, and a prophet, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. I love it. And then the Bible says, in his days Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely, and his name whereby he shall be called, here it is, the Lord our righteousness. Who is the Lord our righteousness? It's the branch. Look with me at verse 20, 21. Paul says it this way, but now the righteousness, he's our righteousness, but now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested. I like that. Righteousness without the law. That's what God wants us to see. Is manifest. Being witnessed by the law and the prophets. The law and the prophets saw it. They saw it coming. How'd they see it? You want me to tell you how they saw it? They saw a branch. The Bible says, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. Tonight, the message I want to get to you, the message I want you to see is the scarlet thread of redemption runs through the book of Jeremiah as the branch. And that branch is the only hope that we have. The only place that when everything else looks hopeless, the Lord Jesus Christ is there for us to look to. He is our righteousness. He is for us what we cannot be for ourselves. We have no hope of being righteous. Because our works of righteousness, not our evil works, not our bad works, not I'm talking about the best that we can do, the best that we can produce, the best that we can provide. Our works of righteousness are as filthy rags. That's exactly right. Boy, the stump's dead, isn't it? It's just a pitiful sight until you look at the branch. And there's hope in the branch. Father in heaven, I pray, Lord, tonight that you would help us to see and find hope in our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. In these dark days in which we live in, and these evil times in which we live in, oh, dear Lord, help us to focus on the branch. God, help us to turn our eyes upon Him. Lord, please bless us as we look at the difficult situations of life. Help us to find hope in Jesus, in Christ's name. With your head still bowed and your eyes still closed, how many of you say, Brother Fred, I'm going through a very difficult time, going through a very hard time, and the message has stirred my heart tonight. Boy, I'm looking at the stump, but I'm not looking at the branch. Brother Fred, pray for me that I'll see the branch. Pray for me that I'll see the Lord Jesus Christ. God bless you. I see your hands. God bless you. I see them. As Miss Carolyn begins to play, would you come tonight? Ask the Lord to help you to see Him. Oh, that God would reveal Himself to us. He revealed Himself to me as the branch. I hope He's done the same for you. He's our only hope in this world. Doesn't matter what you're looking at. It might be dead as a hammer. It might look as if there's no life. But because of Jesus, there's a branch. There is hope in Christ. Would you come tonight and look to Christ? Would you come tonight and trust Him? Would you come tonight and call out to Him? It's discouraging looking at the stump, doesn't it? The stump's easy to see. All around us in this life, it's so easy to get so discouraged by the stump. Israel failed, Judah failed, but Jesus never fails. He never lets us down. You'll never be discouraged looking at Christ. The only time you'll ever get discouraged is when you put your eyes on the stump and not the Lord. May we trust Him?